So yesterday we started in Acts chapter 1 about the kingdom restoration and power. And again, I encourage you to just do a study of all the different things that Jesus taught after the resurrection. It's quite amazing. And when we come to Luke chapter 1, we have Luke continuing where he left off in the Gospel of Luke as he begins the book of Acts. And we covered the first three verses yesterday. And I'm going to pick up in verse 4 and read some verses and then make some comments on that this morning. It says, "And being assembled together that with them," that is, he's with his disciples. This is right before he's going to ascend. "He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth.'" So, powerful section of scripture here. Let's jump right in it, phrase by phrase, so to speak, and talk about it. First thing we see here is he gives them the command to wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, isn't it interesting? When you study what happens right before the ascension, here's what you get from Matthew and Mark and Luke, and here in the book of Acts, it's like, go into all the world. But when you get here to the breaking it down, Luke says, after he says, go into all the world, he says, wait in Jerusalem. Have you ever been in that kind of season with the Lord? It's like you've gotten to go, and then it's followed by a wait. Now, it's not that the Lord's changing his mind. He's just getting things in the proper order. Jesus had commanded them to go into all the world. He says, I'm authorizing you. I'm delegating authority to you to go into all the nations and preach and teach and baptize and so forth. But now, prior to his ascension, right before, he says, but before you go, there's something else I've got to do for you, in you, in order to do what I want to do through you. So he says, wait in Jerusalem, or tarry in Jerusalem, depending on the translation, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Luke in his gospel says, until you are endued with power from on high. Here he says, wait until for the promise of the Father. Then he goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and you'll receive power. So interestingly here, the Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful term to describe the Holy Spirit. He's the promise of the Father, a promise. The Holy Spirit is a promise kept by the Father for us. When he comes, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's such a beautiful thing. You see, the Father wants this for us because he gives this to us, the Holy Spirit, promise of the Father, the gift of the Father, promise kept to us. So this shows us how much the Father wants us to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, to be able to live our lives from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, in John 20, Jesus breathed on those disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's already happened. But here in Acts chapter 1, he says, now I want you to wait until you receive the promise of the Father. And in Luke 24, you'll be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when he comes upon you, and you will be witnesses for me. So there's a difference between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the empowering encounter with the Holy Spirit that empowers us for witnessing for Christ, living for Christ as we go out from our neighbor to the nations. Now, it's interesting here that Jesus also ties this in prophetically with the ministry of John. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. You have heard me, which you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He says, which he said, you have heard from me. So we know when we look back at what John preached, there's one coming after me who is preferred before me. I'm not worthy to unleash his sandals. I indeed baptize you with water, and I'm paraphrasing here, but when he gets here, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus is connecting this, Luke is connecting this for us here. The prophetic ministry of John the Baptist now has transitioned to the messianic ministry of Jesus. And Jesus now, in a time of transition, is delegating his authority to his disciples. And he's taught them the night before he's crucified, I'm going to send another one, the Holy Spirit. He said, you'll be able to do the same works that I do. And it's important that I go back to the Father so that he can come. And now he's telling them again, he's a coming. He's going to come. He's going to come upon you, and you're going to be empowered to witness for me. So we see these transitions taking place here. And I've got to move on in this because we see that the disciples, like we read it in the Word, we can hear it, but we don't always get it. Jesus had told them these things, but they're still not getting it. So they say, when they came together, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, he had taught them a lot about the kingdom, but that doesn't mean they fully understand what he taught them about the kingdom. Obviously, they did not, because here they still have this mentality. Okay, we know the Messiah, the King of Israel. That means the kingdom's going to be restored to Israel. He's going to rule and reign from Israel, and we're not going to be under subjugation to Rome anymore. They're thinking along those lines. So, okay, it's now the time when you're going to restore. And Jesus doesn't rebuke them for mentioning the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Why? Because there is coming a time when he will return and he will descend upon the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign from as king from there. But the kingdom now is a spiritual kingdom. It is a domain of God ruling and governing in human hearts that submit to the lordship of his Son. Kiss the Son. The nations, Psalm 2, are an inheritance for his Son, the Messiah. And there will come a time when everything will be made his footstool, and then he ultimately will deliver the kingdom to the Father. But right now there is a spiritual kingdom where God through his Spirit is ruling and reigning in the hearts of his sons and daughters. We are members of the royal family. Our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and he is coming again. But these disciples still haven't been able to put this together fully. And with all the further revelation we now have, we probably aren't getting every little dot connected precisely right either. But we can see the big picture. And so Jesus doesn't rebuke them for talking about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, but rather he says, listen, it's a timing issue. It's not yet time for it. And I can't tell you when it's going to happen. That's still under the authority of the Father, those times and seasons. What we are to do, church, is to continue to do what Jesus has told his disciples to do until he comes again. And here we have it. We're to receive power by the Holy Spirit And they were to start where we live and then go until the nations are one. For them, they started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It went out from there. So when the kingdom finds its way into a person's heart, then you live it out from there everywhere you go. And some people are called to this nation and that nation. They live in this place and that place. They take this gospel into this territory and that territory. We're still doing what Jesus gave the church to do. And when people are saved, we want to grow them up. We want to equip them, and we want them to understand these things and to live their lives for Him and live out God's purposes in their life. But for us all, like those disciples, we're trying to figure out, well, when are you coming? When are you going to restore the kingdom? He is coming, and there will be the consummation of the age, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess ultimately that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything will be put in right order. And it's amazing the unfolding of events that will happen in staccato fashion as we get close to the end. It's boom, 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 boom. It's coming because He's coming. Amen? So He sets them straight about that. And notice that we are promised an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, the Father's put the times and seasons of that in His own authority. But here's something you can know, and here's something you are to have. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me. That's the part that we need to focus on, is that there is an empowerment from the Holy Spirit to enable us to be those witnesses we were created to be for Jesus Christ. And we are commanded to be witnesses. And we need to realize that we are commanded to be witnesses from where we are to anybody out there where they are, to the nations, every people group, every kingdom, every tribe. And just briefly, these last verses, it says, when He had spoken these things, they watched, and He was taken up into a cloud, received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men, these were angels, by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Briefly, let me just say this. They saw Him ascend until He went out of sight. Boom. And the angels told them, He is going to return in like manner. That is, part of our foundational Christian belief is there will be a visible, bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ from the heavens into which He ascended back into the realm of earth. Maranatha, amen, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I hope you're ready for His coming. I hope you know Him. I hope you have His empowerment in your life through the Holy Spirit. Always pray for more of the Holy Spirit. That's a good prayer to pray. It's the Father's desire for us to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, to live in this empowerment. And so that's part of our birthright, part of our inheritance, if you will. Amen. Well, again, for those of you who may have joined us lately, this concludes our daily devotionals. We've been doing this over a year. Mickey and I are going to begin sometime soon a weekly podcast, but because we're back to more of a regular schedule, and we feel like we've been faithful to what God told us to do in this season, when things have been kind of shut down and so different during this pandemic. And I know there's still things that needs to happen for everything to be clear, but we feel like that we've been faithful to this. We have thoroughly enjoyed it, and we may dip in from time to time. But thank you so much, each of you who have been a part of this, for your prayers, your support, your encouragement. We love you. God bless you. Now, the weekend's upon us. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to Grace House at 1946 Florence Boulevard in Florence, Alabama. We have an 8 o'clock a.m. outdoor service in the parking area. We have a 9 a.m. indoor service and a 10:30 a.m. indoor service. God's really moving and blessing in our services, and we're grateful for that. You are welcome to join with us and be a part of that. Love you all. And God bless you.